Well, it was a joy to start last evening. And how many of you were not here last night? Well, just one, two. All right, that's good. Well, then I won't have to do too much review. Just to remind you of what the theme of the weekend is, and that's cultivating truth for life. And we began last night with my personal testimony of faith in Christ and then went right into our first session and learned that if we're going to cultivate truth, which we know God's word is truth, then we're going to have a passion for that, a desire for truth. And we looked also at the fact that there might be a reason that you might not have a passion and an appetite and a desire for God's word, and that could be one of two reasons. Number one, maybe your heart is not regenerated like mine was not for many, many years, even though I was a pastor's wife and went through all the motions. Or secondly, it could be because of sin. And so we looked at just a few possibilities, but that might be keeping us from 1 Peter chapter 2. This morning, we're going to turn the corner a little bit. And after God envelops that desire for his word, and I like what the promise of the new covenant says in Ezekiel, that he puts his spirit within our heart and he causes us to walk in his ways. And so that was one of the first things that I noticed after God saved me, was that he put a passion in my heart for his word and a desire. And so from there, we go to being devoted to the word of God, which is our second session. And again, you have a little outline there before you. And I know of no other better way to be devoted to the word of God than to memorize it. And so that is our session for this hour. And before we get started, I would like to commit our time to the Lord. Father, thank you so much for just the joy it is to be here. I thank you for this beautiful setting. I thank you for this beautiful time of year that we know is from your hand. And I thank you that you allow us to behold with our eyes these beautiful colors. We know that is a gift from you, one that we should not take for granted. Thank you for this church, the setting here, Lord. I thank you for these ladies that are here that are sacrificing their weekend to come and sit at your feet. And Father, I pray that somehow you would ignite a spark within their hearts to desire your word more than their necessary food. And Lord, that they would desire to not only study it and read it, but Father, that they would hide your word in their heart so they would not sin against you. And so, Father, give grace for this hour. I pray that you would overcome distractions that we might have, fatigue that we might have, even physical pain, emotional pain that we might have, Father, so that we would sit there at your feet and learn. We thank you, Father, for your grace that is so great, marvelous grace of our loving Lord. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as mentioned last night, I have been married 40 years and just celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary. But about 41 years ago, I met a man that was unlike any other man that I had ever met. And I mentioned last night that we met actually the first day of school at Moody Bible Institute. And my husband's roommate was Phil Johnson. Some of you might know him. He is editor of most of John MacArthur's books. And he was my husband's roommate. And he said, now my pastor's daughter, my dad baptized Phil. And he said, now my pastor's daughter is coming here, and I want you to missionary date her, and because she tends to get in with the wrong crowd. So that should have been the first clue to my husband, you know, that I was unregenerated. But anyway, so he introduced my husband and I the first day of school, and about 2 weeks later, we started dating. And I told you last night about the one conversation we had over a meal where he mentioned the rapture. But there was another time that we were together, and it was pretty, I think it even might have been before the rapture conversation. And we were talking, and, you know, he was known as the Moody Monk, and I later found out why. He definitely was a monk. But he had most of the New Testament memorized when I met him, and the man that discipled him had the whole Bible memorized. But anyway, we hadn't been dating too long, and he said, so Susan, he said, I want to ask you a question. He said, have you ever memorized any scripture? And I said, well, of course, I'm a Baptist minister's daughter. I mean, I said, I've memorized John 3:16, and I've memorized the Romans Road. You know, I got it down, man. And he goes, no, I'm not talking about that. He said, I'm talking about, have you ever memorized a book of the Bible? And I thought, no wonder this guy's a monk. You know, he really is a monk. And I said, no, I've never memorized a book of the Bible. And he said, well, you should really try it. He said, I'd like for you to try memorizing the Epistle to the Colossians. He said, you know, it's not that long. It's got four chapters. They're short. It's easy. And he said, I'm going to share my method with you, and I would like for you to do that. And so because I was hoping he would ask me to marry him, I decided I would memorize the Epistle to the Colossians. That's not a good motivation, but it was the one that God used in my life, you know, to get my husband, but also to have a passion after he saved me for his word. And so I did. I used his method, and I memorized the Epistle to the Colossians. And he was right. It was not that difficult. Of course, I'm 30 years older now, but it was the tool that God used to whet my appetite. And that was a beginning of a journey for me. Now, as I mentioned last night, I did not become a genuine believer until I was 30 years of age. And so I was 18 when I memorized my first book of the Bible, and we got married a year later. He went into ministry. I got pregnant 6 months after we got married, so, you know, start having children. And because my heart was not regenerated and I really didn't have a passion for the word, I put that aside. Now, when God saved me at the age of 30, that was one thing I picked up right away. I went back to memorizing scripture and using the method that my husband had shared with me. And I have to tell you that memorizing God's word has definitely been probably the primary tool that God has used in my life to help me put off sin. I can definitely tell you as a Bible teacher that it is better than any commentary. I usually do not teach a book of the Bible until I have it memorized because of the insights that you can gain that you cannot just gain through casual reading. As I begin to see the changes in my own life and I begin to disciple women and counsel women, I think I shared with you last night about the lady that I had been counseling for a couple years now who's memorized 5 books of the Bible, and just the changes I've seen in her life have just been phenomenal due to hiding God's word in her heart and applying it. And so I began to use scripture memorization as a homework assignment for the ladies that I would counsel and disciple. And because of time in this session, I want to make sure I get to the meat of it. I normally share several examples of people's lives who've been transformed, but I'm going to put that off because I want to make sure that we get to this. People say, could you just get to the method and forget all the other stuff? But there is an important foundation that we need to lay. But I will tell you, I have testimonies not only in my brain of women's lives who've been totally transformed, but I have emails at home and files that are just amazing. I probably have close to 1,000 now of people's lives that have been transformed due to scripture memorization and applying it. There's no merit in scripture memorization, but it's the application that is life transforming. And so with that in mind, what I want to do is I want to, and you have an outline there, I want to ask and answer some questions that are very important. Because I could just stand up here this morning and share with you the method, and there are a lot of other methods besides the one that I'm going to share with you. There are a lot of methods of memorizing scripture, but ladies, if I don't give you a biblical foundation of why you should be memorizing and give you some other tools as well, you're going to take this home and you will not have, hopefully, the fire in your bosom unless I share with you the biblical reasons why it is imperative. And I believe with the world, the way it is going and the downward spiral, if you do not hide God's word in your heart, you will not be able to stand in the day of adversity. And the time has come, and I've been teaching this for years about persecution. The time has come. We cannot play games anymore as Christians. And so you must have some of God's word hidden in your heart. So what I want to do is ask and answer some questions. Who should memorize? Why should we do this? What scripture should we memorize? When? And then how? So first of all, we want to answer the question, who should memorize scripture? is scripture memorization really necessary for every one of you women, even the old ones, even the ones I've already had women tell me, I just can't do this. Oh, yeah, you can. And is it really necessary for everyone? In order to answer this question, I want you, if you want, you can turn to Psalm 1, but it's probably a passage that most of you have memorized. Psalm 1 says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish." Now, ladies, if you looked very carefully, if you're following along in your Bible, you will notice in chapter 1, verse 2, the psalmist says, it's what? It is the godly man, the godly woman in our case, who so delights in the law of God that she meditates day and night. Now, you might say, Susan, my Bible says meditate. It does not say that I need to memorize. Well, let me give you the Hebrew definition for meditation, okay? In the Hebrew, the word meditate entails reading it over and over and over again until it becomes implanted on your brain. Actually, it means a low, murmuring tone of voice, like, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. That, did you know that is biblical meditation? And you do it over and over and over until it becomes implanted on your brain. Now, what would have been the law of God during this time? When the psalmist says, blessed is the man who what? Delights in the law of God. What would have been in the law of God? Anybody know? You can speak out. It's okay. First five, you know, women have to be silent in the church, but when we're all women, we can talk, okay? First five books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Now, ladies, how many of you know anybody that can quote those five books today? I don't know of anybody. And yet, that's what the psalmist is saying. And today we have what? We have 66 books in the Bible, and yet most Christians that I meet are biblically illiterate. They do not meditate on Scripture. Ladies, Psalm 119:23 says, "Your servant did meditate in your statutes." Now, ladies, when you look at Psalm 1, you cannot get away from the fact that all believers should be memorizing the Word. It says the godly man so delights in it that he meditates day and night. Now, the New Testament also has a passage. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to share one verse with you. Colossians, that first book of the Bible that my husband encouraged me to memorize. Colossians 3:16, Paul says this, "Let the word of God dwell in you richly." Let the word of God dwell in you richly. The Greek word for let means to inhabit. The word for word is logos. You know what Paul is saying? We are to allow the entire body of God's truth to inhabit us, to dwell in us. And ladies, the word can only dwell in us to the extent that we know it. And we have to remember, we always look at context, always think of the audience. Who is Paul writing to? He's writing to the church at Colossae. And ladies, in New Testament times, most people did not have the privilege of having their own personal copy of God's word. And so they were dependent on hearing it, and they had to memorize it in order to allow it to dwell in them and inhabit them. And, you know, we have so many advantages over the New Testament church, and I think we don't realize how fortunate we are. I hear of places, third world countries, where they would do anything just to have one page of a Bible. And we have so many advantages, and yet with all the advantages that we have over the New Testament church, we are biblically illiterate. And we're like the Laodicean church, you know, we're not hot, we're not cold. Men and women of old had a special challenge that you and I do not have. And ladies, even as the New Testament church progressed according to church history, do you know most men and women cherished God's word more than you and I do? Listen to some of these. Tertullian devoted his days and nights to Bible reading, so much so that he even memorized its punctuation. Now, I'm not going to teach you how to memorize periods, semicolons, and all that. Don't worry about that. You're like, I'm out of here. Beza could repeat all of Paul's letters in Greek at the age of 80. Cramer could repeat the entire New Testament from memory. And Theodos the Younger could repeat any part of Scripture exactly. As I mentioned, I only know of one person in my lifetime who's memorized the whole Bible, and that was Dr. Stewart, who was actually my husband's mentor and discipler. Now, you might say, Susan, you know, those are all men. I mean, that's what they're supposed to do. Well, Frances Havergal, she wrote my favorite hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. Do you know that she memorized the entire New Testament, all of Psalms, and Isaiah in her teenage years? In her teenage years. And then later on, she memorized all the minor prophets. Now, Frances Havergal, she died at the age of 43, and she did not die of memorizing Scripture. You're going to say, you know, I'm not doing this, man. It's going to kill me. You put her in the grave. You know, she died at the age of 43. She did not die of memorizing Scripture. She died of consumption, actually, if you know anything about her life. But, you know, she had 12,935 verses committed to memory when she passed away. And you know how she would memorize? She and her sister would go on walks together every morning. And they would use those morning walks together to memorize God's word. And I will tell you just from experience that that is the best way to memorize, is to be walking or exercising or doing something. Because something about the rhythm, you know, and you get it down, it works really well. Now you might say, well, Susan, I just think that's a little over the top. I mean, there's no way I'm going to memorize the New Testament. Well, maybe this would be more palatable for you. A man I read about, he got converted. This is a more recent man, not somebody from the 1800s. He got saved at the age of 20, and he decided that he would just memorize one verse a day. That's it, one verse a day. And you know what the result was? After 3 years of being in Christ, 3 years, he had 1,000 verses committed to memory. Now, ladies, that's not really that hard when you think about it. I try right now to memorize a verse a day when I'm not traveling, when I'm not on the road, but and I'm getting up there. You know, I'm going to be 60 soon. So, and my mind's not as good as it used to be, but I'm still plugging away at it. Now, you might say, well, even that's kind of over the top for me. Well, not really. I mean, just think about it. Rejoice evermore. There's one for you. Pray without ceasing. There's two. Jesus wept. There's three. See, you've already got three. And I bet all of you could repeat those, right? See, you're already into the week. But, you know, I give these examples not to condemn us, but to encourage us. Do you know the early church did not know anything? My husband has said the terms quiet times and daily devotion has done more damage to the New Testament church than anything else. The early church wouldn't even know what you're talking about. When you get to heaven and say, well, how'd you do your quiet time? They go, what are you talking about? Or daily devotion. The word of God dwelt in them. It inhabited them. It abode in them. And yet, we have the written word. We have it on. Most of us right now could pull up our smartphone. We have it on there. I've got two apps that have the Bible on my phone. We have it on. We can listen to it. And yet, with all the advantages that you and I have, we're biblically illiterate. In fact, I have met some women, and they can tell me what's on TV. You know, and they'll start saying, hey, have you heard of this movie or this? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about, or this program or this TV show. And I say, I'm sorry. But, you know, if I ask them about something in the Scriptures, they'll, I don't know what you're talking about. I remember one time this was illustrated to me. A lady came in for counseling, and she struggled with anxiety. And I said, well, why don't you turn to Matthew chapter 6? I said, the Lord has some great helps on how to overcome anxiety. And I can still remember, I handed her my Bible. And the poor lady, and she told me she went to church every Sunday, and she was a Christian. And the poor woman couldn't even find Matthew in the Bible. And I thought, no wonder this woman is struggling with anxiety. She doesn't even know where to turn in God's Word to find help. And, you know, I didn't tell her to turn to Malachi, the Italian prophet. I just said Matthew. And she couldn't find it. The lady couldn't find it. And ladies, I see this all the time. It is so sad. And as I mentioned last night, women substitute. Women especially are bad about substituting devotional literature instead of the meat of God's Word. And so, unfortunately, we are going around not only in our spiritual diapers, as I mentioned last night, but biblically literate. We don't have power to overcome sin because we do not know God's Word. Well, the answer to the first question is really simple. Who should memorize Scripture? Everybody in this room who knows the Lord Jesus should be memorizing His Word. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, go ahead and memorize it anyway. It can't hurt you. It's better than some of that other garbage out there. Get saved and then start memorizing. The second question I want to answer is why. Why should we do this? And I'm going to give you 11 reasons, and they're not mine. They're not my reasons. I could give you about 150 probably of my personal reasons, but I'm going to give you 11 reasons, and they all come from God's Word because that's where we want to focus, right? The first reason that you should memorize Scripture is to be successful. Now, this is not, I'm not a prosperity teacher, or I wouldn't have been invited to this church, and this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's nothing like that, and I want to explain what I'm saying. Joshua 1:8 says this, "The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate day and night so that you can observe to do all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success." Or the psalm we just read, Psalm 1, you remember what it says? "They'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf will not wither, and whatsoever it does will what? Prosper. Prosper. The godly woman who meditates day and night, if she does that, she will prosper. Now, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that you'll get rich, but it does mean this. Whatever you do will come to maturity. You will be blessed. Your family life will be blessed. Your personal life will be blessed. Your spiritual life will be blessed. Does that mean everything will go right? No. The way you want it? No. But you will be blessed. You will be happy. Now, ladies, I don't know about you, but I want God's blessing in my life. I do. I want His blessing in my life. The second reason that you should memorize Scripture is to sin less. To sin less. Conviction of sin, which leads to sinning less, I should say. Conviction of sin, which leads to sinning less. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Ladies, God's word is convicting. It is convicting. And you know what? As you go over and over and over a passage, you know, sometimes what we do in the morning or whenever you do spend time in the Word and you kind of read and go, "Oh, that's nice, yeah, I observed that." But when you have to say it over and over and over again, all of a sudden the conviction comes upon you. I remember after the Lord saved me, and before I got saved, I had a terrible temper. And my husband used to say he was going to put on my tombstone. She did it her way. So that kind of tells you what kind of wife I was before Christ. And I was memorizing the epistle of James, and I came to James 1:19. "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." For the wrath of man does not produce the... Oh, my. "For the wrath of Susan Joy Heck does not produce God's favor towards her." And you know, that was the passage of Scripture that God used to help me overcome that sin of anger. And so, as you've memorized Scripture, it is convicting. And if God the Holy Spirit is living in you and you are not quenching or grieving Him, you're going to obey because you know it's the right thing to do. What does Psalm 119:11 say? "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Why? So I won't sin against you. And so, ladies, this is a wonderful reason. I would get you to get your children memorizing Scripture. Bring the word to bear upon their heart. Psalm 37:31 says this, "The law of God is in my heart, and none of my steps will slide." Number three, the third reason you should memorize Scripture is because God's word has power to change your life. God's word has power to change your life. The verse I just quoted, what? "For the word of God is living and what? Powerful." It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Ladies, your words have no power. Your words have no power. Those devotional books that you're reading, they have no power. God's word has power to change your very life. Number four, the fourth reason you should memorize Scripture, it's commanded of us. Did you know that? It's a command. Deuteronomy 6:6 says this, "These words I command you this day shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Also, Deuteronomy 11:18. "Therefore, lay these words in your heart and your soul. Bind them on a sign for your hand, that they might be frontlets between your eyes." Now, ladies, how were the Jewish mothers to teach their children God's word if they didn't have it stored in their mind? Remember, they didn't have, and women weren't encouraged to learn back in biblical times and study. So how in the world were they to teach these things, principles, to their children? I'll tell you, because they had them stored up in their mind. Number five, the fifth reason you should memorize Scripture, examples of the saints in the New Testament who memorized. Examples of saints in the New Testament who memorized. You might say, why do you say that? Did you know there are over 300 direct quotations in the New Testament from the Old Testament? And remember, they did not have, most of them did not have a copy, personal copy of God's word. They had it committed to memory. In fact, I often think of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, you know, before he got stoned. And he preached that masterful sermon. You know, he gave 1,000 years of Israel's history in that sermon. And he quoted from Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Amos, and Isaiah in that sermon. Now, how many Christians do you know can do that today without looking at their Bible? I don't know of anybody that can't. Number six, and if you have a sluggish belly because you're sleepy from breakfast, tune me in now. Tune in to this one, and then you can tune me out again, okay? Because this, in my opinion, is the biggest reason for women why we should memorize Scripture. Number six, to transform your mind. To transform your mind. Ladies, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed," what? By renewing your mind. Ladies, you are not going to renew your mind by looking at Victoria's Secret catalogs or any of that other garbage out there. That is not going to renew your mind. The only thing that is going to renew the way you think is this book right here. Ephesians 4:23 says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And ladies, I've seen this happen over and over and over. As I said, I could probably pull up 1,000 emails in my files at home of women's lives who have told me their life, their mind has been changed. They think differently about God. They think differently about their husbands. They think differently about their marriage. They think differently about their enemies. They think differently about life. They just see life from a totally different perspective because they've transformed their mind by renewing it with God's word. Number seven, the seventh reason that we should memorize Scripture, it will enable you to be a better counselor. It will enable you to be a better counselor. Now, you might say, "Susan, I'm not a counselor." Yes, you are. Every one of you in this room is a counselor. Did any of you give your husband some instructions before you left home? I called mine on the way here this morning because he has my three of my grandsons are at our house right now for fall break. My husband's never kept them by himself. I said, "How's it going? Are you winning or are they winning?" He said, "They are." He said, "I told them that they could get up whatever time they wanted." So Jackson was up at 3 this morning. Ethan was up at 4 and Josiah at 5. And he said, "Then we had a pillow fight." And I was like, "Oh, my Lord." And he said, "Now we're eating donuts and cereal. And we got into the candy you bought, too." So, like, okay. But I said, "Well, you might," I'm talking about giving counsel, "you might want to put them to bed at a normal time tonight and tell them not to get up because we do have church tomorrow." So we do. We give a friend, you know, some advice, some counsel. Hopefully those of you that have children or grandchildren, you give them instruction, right? So we all are counselors. Psalm 119 says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Through your commandments, you have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. Ladies, when you hide God's word in your heart and you're trying to give instruction or counsel to someone, you don't have to say, well, you know, I know the Bible has something to say about your problem, but I'm not quite sure where it is. Let me Google it or let me find a concordance. You can say with authority, you know, God's word has something to say about what you just mentioned to me, and let me tell you what he has to say. And so you can give counsel and instruction with authority. Ladies, this is important for us, especially in this day and age where so many people are hurting and we need to be able to help them. Also for the gospel. You should be able to give an answer to every man that asks you of the hope that of the reason that is within you. And so you certainly want to have enough of God's word memorized where if someone were to ask you about the gospel or you have an opportunity to share the gospel, you don't have to pull out your New Testament. You can just quote scripture and instruct them on how they can be saved. Number eight, the eighth reason you should memorize scripture, it will keep you from error. It will keep you from error, E-R-R-O-R. Interesting passage in Matthew chapter 22. Remember when the Pharisees came to Jesus and they were trying to trip him up? And he said, you know, hey, what about this woman? You know, she got married and then her husband died. And so she married the brother and then he died. And, you know, there were seven of them. They all died. Now, in heaven, Jesus, who's she going to be married to? And you know what Jesus said to them? You do err, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. Why were the Sadducees in error? Because they didn't know the word of God. Ladies, it is imperative in this day where false Christs, false teachers have arisen. I mean, there's like a new one popping up every day. It is imperative that we know doctrine, that we know the word of God. The Bible tells us that we as women are more easily deceived. It talks in 2 Timothy about those silly laden women that are led away by false teachers. And we can thank Mother Eve for that. But we need to be grounded in the word of God. In fact, you know most cults and heretical teachings are formed due to scripture taken out of context? In Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I live, I was asking Inger on the way here, you know, what's the main religion here? But in Tulsa, where I live, we're known as the Bible Belt. But we're not the Bible Belt. We are the heresy capital of the world. I mean, you know, we got Oral Roberts. We got Kenneth Hagin. It's called Church on the Move. I call it Church on the Mooch. But, you know, Tulsa, Oklahoma is filled with the prosperity gospel. I mean, that's just, it's a massive heresy. And it's really difficult when some of these women come in for counseling to get them to think biblically because they've been so brainwashed with scripture that has been taken out of context. Now, what's going to keep you from becoming a casualty? What's going to keep you from being swept away by false teachers, false teaching? I will tell you this book right here, but you got to know it. And you would be wise to memorize as much as you can of it. Number nine, the ninth reason you should memorize God's word, it will increase your love for God and your knowledge of God. It will increase your love for God and your knowledge of God. 1 John 5:2-3 says this, by this we know we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and they're not a burden to us. They're not irksome to us. You know what John is doing, the aged-old Apostle John? You know what he's doing? He's measuring our love for God by our obedience to his commands. Ladies, we say that we love God. In fact, we just sang some songs, you know, that was talking about our love and our thanksgiving to God for the cross and for the gospel, and it draws near. We were talking about, and I hope you were singing those songs just not from your mouth, but from your heart, that you were really worshiping the Lord. And we say we love God. If that is true, then what better way to know him than to memorize the 66 letters he's left for us? I remember when I met my husband 41 years ago, you know, I was crazy about him. And all I could think about was Doug Heck. And back then, you know, we didn't have cell phones. We couldn't text. We couldn't call. I mean, we did the old-fashioned thing. I know you young girls have no idea what I'm talking about. Because I don't know, do you guys even use pens and pencils anymore? I don't know. But we actually wrote letters, handwritten letters to each other. And, you know, when I would get out of class at Moody, I would go to my P.O. box, and I would, you know, usually Doug would write me letters almost every day. And I would take those things and go up to the eighth floor of Houghton Hall where my room was, and my poor roommate from Texas, her name was Janet, and I'd say, "Got another letter from Doug," and I'd read it to her, and she's like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, whatever." And and I'd read them over and over and over. In fact, I still have all those letters he wrote back then in a shoebox, and I've kept them all. Now, why did I do that? Because his words were important to me, because I was in love with the author. And ladies, these words should be important to us, because I hope you are in love with the author. I hope you are in love with God, and I hope that you are in love with his word. Ladies, if you are a teacher of God's Word, and I've met some of you that are teachers, and I'm so thankful, we need women who are expositors. We need women who love God's Word. I would encourage you, if you are a teacher of God's Word, memorize as much of it as you can, because it is, as I mentioned, the best Bible study method that I know of, and it will revolutionize your teaching. Number 10, it will comfort you in your afflictions. The 10th reason you should memorize Scripture, it will comfort you in your afflictions. Psalm 119:50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." Now, I know that we can open up God's word and read it anytime we want. We can pull it up on our smartphone and read it whenever we want. But ladies, you know, when you can't sleep in the night, you know, I remember when I had my hysterectomy many years ago and that 3 o'clock time came and I'm like wide awake. Now what? You know, I don't want to get up and wake my husband up. And you know, when you're sitting there or laying in bed and you can't sleep and you're tossing and turning, you know, or you get that middle of the night phone call. As a pastor's wife, we get those sometimes. I remember one specific one we got one night. It's about 2 o'clock in the morning, and lady in our church called and said the lady she cared for had fallen. They were on their way to the hospital, and so I turned over to go back to bed, and the next thing I know, my husband's turning on the light, and he said, I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm going to the hospital, aren't you?" And I go, "Oh, yeah, sure, I'm going. I'm there." And my husband is a rebuke to my own Christianity, but he's a great shepherd. But anyway, you know, those middle-of-the-night phone calls you get, do you know enough of God's word where you can give hope and help to those that are in a crisis situation or for even your own self? I've often wondered if this would happen, and now I can see that it could happen, where we can't imagine it, but I really think we're at that age, we're in the season now, where we might not have a Bible anymore. And you say, "Well, I've got it on my phone." Well, have you ever considered, they say with their technology is out there now, that completely wipe out any possibility of us even having an ability to have technology. If ISIS is allowed to continue the way they are, they can wipe out all of our cell phone towers, whatever. So if that were to happen, or my husband has mentioned recently, we've been kind of joking about I'll be one of the first women to go to prison. He says, "Well, you do look pretty good in orange, so I'll come visit you in the pokey." But, you know, we're getting more persecution because of the transgender movement and the same-sex marriage movement. It's not a marriage, but that's what they call it. But, you know, if that time comes and we are put in jail or prison, are we going to know enough of God's word? You might say, "Well, they'll give you a Bible." Not necessarily. That day may come. They will not give you a Bible while you are in prison. And so, ladies, I think it's, like I said in the beginning, it's not a time to be playing around. It's a time to get serious. And if you can read the signs of the times and read your Bible, you know that it is serious. And so we can't afford to be playing games with God's word. So I would encourage you, memorize as much as you can. Number 11, last but not least, it will help you in your old age. Only the gray-haired people are laughing. The young girls are going, "Yeah, yeah, you're right. Just wait, your day's coming." Isaac Watts once said this. He wrote a lot of hymns that we sing. He said this, "As we get older, our brain shrinks and hardens from lack of use. And the best therapy for our brain is memorizing. And, of course, the best thing to memorize is Scripture. And you know, that is really true. We had a young girl in our church who graduated several years ago as a medical doctor, and she's doing her internship now. And she said, "Susan, it's really true what you say." She said, memorizing actually does something to the brain cells. And the more that you, I will tell you this from experience, the more I memorize, the easier it gets. And she said, it's like exercise. You're really exercising your brain. Now, ladies, I don't know about you, but when I get old, you know, my kids say they're not going to put me in one of those places, but I don't trust them. And, you know, when I get old and senile, I don't know about you, if my kids stick me in one of those places, I would rather have God's word coming out of my mouth than some of the things that I have heard come out of some of those old people's mouths in those places. But anyway, and they actually say, my friend that mentors me, who's 83, she says, Susan, she's from Atlanta, who you are when you're old is who you really are. And I'm like, oh, that's really scary. And so, because she says, you know, we can't mask it anymore. When we're young, we can be a hypocrite. But when we get old, who we are is who we really are. And you know, I found that to be true. I watched my dad age, and he died last year at 96. He was the sweetest. You know, every time we would talk or we'd sing hymns, I mean, he was sweet. And I saw that even with Deb's dad. Her dad died 3 years ago, and we were in Texas on a speaking tour, and he was in a nursing home, and she said, you care if we stop and see my dad? And I said, no, it's fine. So we stopped and saw him, and she was visiting with him, and he didn't know her or anything, but she said, Daddy, he said, who's that woman? And she said, Daddy, that's Susan, and she teaches women the Bible. And he said, oh. He said, Jesus did say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And he quoted that verse. And then the next day she went back to see him. I stayed in the hotel to get ready for the day. And he didn't know her, didn't know Debbie, didn't know we'd been there the night before. But he knew God's word. And I don't know about you. When I get old, I want to be sweet. And the people in the home there said that her dad is, and he was, just had a smile on his face and just the sweetest man. His mind wasn't working very good, but he knew God's word. Isn't that amazing? And I know with my own dad, I could start a verse and he could complete it. Or I'd say, Daddy, let's sing hymns together. And he would know all the hymns. And so I don't know about you, but when I get old, I want to be who I really am right now. So we better start transforming our mind now, right? So, well, now I want to get to the third question we want to answer is what? You might say, Susan, wow, okay, I'm convinced. You got me convinced, woman. I need to memorize God's word. So what, okay, get me started. What should I memorize? Well, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says what? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we know from that passage what? All scripture is profitable, right? All of it is profitable. Now, I will say this. You might not want to start, you know, with a very difficult book like Leviticus or Numbers or, you know, something like that. That might be hard. I mean, it's profitable and it's a great book of the Bible. I'm not diminishing any of God's word. It's wonderful. But you might, if you struggle with a certain sin in your life, we talked last night about the tongue. If you struggle with your tongue, you might memorize James 3. If you are a woman who is prone to depression, you might memorize Psalm 42 and 43. Those are great psalms. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Put your trust in God. He is the lifter of your countenance. If you struggle with loving, I counseled a woman one time whose husband had committed adultery, and she wanted to stay in the marriage. And so I encouraged her to memorize 1 Corinthians 13. And every time she was tempted to think evil or bad of her husband and the situation that had happened, she would quote 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And God used that in her life. She became a believer and her husband became a believer and they're still married. So that was a good thing. But I would, if you struggle with anxiety, Philippians chapter 4, Matthew chapter 6. Also another good thing is if you're like right now, I'm teaching the ladies in my church, the Sermon on the Mount on Tuesday night. And so right now, currently, three of them are memorizing, at least that I know. I think there's others that are doing it. They just haven't told me. But three of the ladies, at least, are memorizing the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. My husband right now is teaching through Ephesians on Sunday morning. And so I would encourage you, I don't know what your pastor's teaching on, but maybe whatever he is teaching on, memorize that. And I will tell you this, From having memorized books of the Bible, when somebody is expounding something that I've memorized, I get so much more out of the teaching. It's just absolutely amazing. And so you might want to memorize whatever your pastor's teaching or whatever your ladies are studying. If you have a ladies' Bible study in your church, which I hope you do, I hope that you might consider that. And you might say, well, Susan, wait a minute. Really, you're talking about chapters? And, yeah, I am talking about chapters. I'm really talking about books. I would say this, and I'm not trying to be critical or anything like that. I would be very careful if you just decide to memorize, a random verse here, random verse there, random verse here. The reason, there's lots of reasons. Those types of programs are okay, but what happens many times, what I've seen, even in some of the counseling books I've read, those verses are taken out of context to try to prove something that God never said. And so if you, after the session today, you're really wired up to go home and memorize, but you say, that chapter stuff, that's too much. I'm going to do verses. I would encourage you, please memorize or at least know what's before and what's after, and then use the verse appropriately in its context. We have to remember this is God's word. And remember when they were written, they were books. You know, it'd be like me going home tonight and you zipping me an email, and I just read one phrase out of there in the middle of your email and try to prove something by it. That's not doing justice to the email that you send me. I'm not reading what you say before, and I'm not reading what you say at the end. And so it's really doing injustice to the Word of God. Remember, cults and heresies are formed due to Scripture taken out of context. And so I would encourage you to do that. And it's really not that hard. It's actually a lot easier to memorize. I've done both ways, and I will tell you, memorizing chapters and memorizing books of the Bible is a lot easier. The next question, so to answer that question, any scripture is profitable. The next question we want to ask and answer is when. When do we do this? Remember what Joshua said? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate what? Day and night. What did the psalmist say? The godly woman, the godly man meditates what? Day and night. So anytime. There's no set time. I do it different times. I do it in the shower. I mean, think of it, ladies. You know, how long does it take to shave your legs and all that stuff? You know, sometimes I'll catch a phrase or two and jump in the shower and shower, ironing clothes. You know, my sisters laugh at me. I have three sisters, and they say, you're the only person that irons your clothes anymore. But, you iron your clothes, your husband's shirts, and, you could get a verse memorized while you're ironing or vacuuming. You know, vacuuming the floor instead of, I wish my husband would help me. You know, I could do all things without murmuring and complaining, you know. So, it is actually amazing. A lot of times when I'm cooking cooking dinner for my husband and I, that's a great time to memorize scripture. You would be shocked how much of your day is spent with your mind in neutral, especially as women. We're doing domestic chores around the house, but our mind is just empty. And so why not fill it with God's word? As I mentioned a while ago, Frances Havergal memorized scripture when she was walking. That's a great thing to do if you do any type of exercise. That's a great time to memorize God's word. Many times I will include memorizing scripture in the morning when I'm reading my Bible and things like that. I memorize a lot in the car when I'm on my way. I always have my verses with me. I've got them packed in my backpack to take with me, and sometimes if I'm not too exhausted on the plane, that's a great time, or if Debbie and I, flights are delayed or whatever, my mind is mentally awake, I can use that time. You'd just be surprised how much time that we really have. One woman said, scripture memory helped me make good use of my time waiting in long lines at the grocery store, driving to work. And I even think of the doctor's office. I try to avoid those places, but, every once in a while I have to go see a doctor. And, that can become a time that you really get impatient. Most of the magazines they have sitting there are worthless. And so why not use that time for scripture memorization? Now, the last question we want to answer is how. And you might say, this is what I've been waiting for you to get to. Would you just get to it? And maybe you're saying, Susan, I don't think I can do this. Well, I confess to you, I didn't think I could either. And I have met women that said they couldn't either. And yet I've had women in their 60s email me and say, I have memorized my first book of the Bible. And you're right. I can do it. And it's changed my life. Our brain can do amazing things if we will just use it. And we don't use our brains. And so I want to give you three suggestions on how to get started. Number one, you got to start. You got to start. And I brought a, see what I'm telling you, I have emails at home. Don't worry, I'm not going to read all this to you. But this was quite fascinating. I didn't get this very long ago from a lady where I'd been in Bayside, New York. And because this is great to illustrate my point of getting started. She said she had the privilege of coming to the conference where I spoke on memorizing the word, minding your mind, practicing contentment, being a woman of prayer. She said, while I was challenged intellectually, I did not begin to take serious to take up the challenge in practice. I guess you might say I filed it away in my mind and went about struggling with life and habits of sin, like having food as my idol. And then she goes on, and I won't read everything she says. She says this, when I think back to where I could have been, if I had put into practice committing scripture to memory, if I had acted on your challenge in 2011, so this is a four-year-old email. This isn't a four-year-old email, but this is when I was at her church 4 years ago. And this is actually a recent email. If I had acted on your challenge in 2011, I think of how different my relationship with the Lord would be if I had begun to memorize scripture in those moments when there is nothing going on in my brain. I cannot begin to tell you the joy that I've had. She's memorizing Colossians, she told me. I cannot tell you the joy that I have had since I began this journey and the insight that I am getting about the gospel. She said, I think the biggest reason I hear when the subject of scripture memorization comes up is I can't do that. And memory problems are cited. She said, I had this difficulty too. And I believe that was my excuse. My hope is that by God's grace, these women will be able to see in just 20 days how much can be learned with memory problems and all of life that gets in the way. It can be done if you only begin, as you have said so clearly. And that's why I say begin, because most of you will go home and you won't begin. And that's what this woman did. She went home and she said, I filed it away. I said, yeah, that was kind of a novel idea. But then and I didn't read all of her emails. Some things came into her life, some problems. And she started memorizing the epistle to the Colossians just recently. And she said, she in this email shares what has happened in her life just in the last few months from memorizing scripture. So start. What's your favorite book of the Bible? What's your pastor preaching on? Right now, think of something that maybe you're saying, Susan, you know, Colossians, oh, that's big. What about a psalm? What about Psalm 1, Psalm 23? Pick a psalm if a book of the Bible sounds overwhelming to you. Number two, set realistic goals. What's realistic for you? Can you do a verse a day? Can you do a verse a week? You know, don't set something that's not realistic. Don't say, well, I'm going to memorize a chapter today and a chapter tomorrow. No, you're not. You're not. Just like we say, I'm going to lose 10 pounds in 3 days. No, you're not. Unless, you know, if you are, come here and tell me your secret. But that's not going to happen. Set realistic goals. Otherwise, you'll just give up. Number three, and this is probably the most important thing, find someone to hold you accountable. Find someone to hold you accountable. I have had different periods of time in my life where I did not have accountability, but most of my 30 years of memorizing scripture, I have had an accountability partner, and I am so thankful because I know every 2 weeks when I get together with Maggie Roller, she is going to say, you know, quote your verses. In fact, sometimes I get texts from her. How's Acts? Because she knows I'm memorizing Acts. I'm in chapter 20 right now. She goes, how's Acts? How far have you gotten? And so it's good to have the accountability. And so I would say find someone to hold you accountable. Now, there are different methods to memorizing scripture, and I want to share some of those with you. I'll share the one that my husband shared with me, and hopefully it will help you. In fact, last night, one of the ladies was peeking at my book on call to scripture memory, and she said that she had also heard of that method, and she said it really did help her. So what I do is I put on some type of recording device. It used to be a tape recorder, then I went to a little handheld recorder. Now I use my smartphone because it has ability to record. And so I put on with my own voice whatever I'm getting ready to memorize, and I put it on with a fast speed. For example, let's just take Colossians, even though that's not where I'm at right now. But let's say you were going to memorize Colossians, and I'm going to put chapter 1 on some type of recording device, and I'm going to put it on in about this speed. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, saints and faithful brethren in Christ, are at Colossae. And I won't quote the whole chapter to you, but it's a fast speed. Now you might say, well, why do you do that? Well, because they've proven that your brain actually picks up things easier if you listen to it given at a fast speed. Our brain does not connect or pick up as fast if we listen to something like Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. And in fact, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but I've noticed when I'm listening to preaching, pastors that preach fast and say a lot, I get a lot more from their sermons than those that are kind of slow and like, come on. Of course, I talk fast too. But anyway, so that's the first thing I do. So I've got Colossians chapter 1 on some recording device. And I'm listening to it. I listen to it, you know. Put your little earbuds in or whatever you want to do. You listen to it when you're, that's another thing you could be doing when you're vacuuming or, you know, dusting furniture or outside working in the yard. Debbie does our flower beds in our yard, and I don't know if she's listening to her scripture, or you listen to your scripture in the yard, or she's listening to sermons, but I see her out there with her little buds, and she's digging, you know, my flower bed. And so, you know, there's all kinds of times that you can be just listening to it. And then you would be surprised when you actually start memorizing it how much you already know, because you've been listening to it, and you kind of have an idea. The other thing I do that really helps me, I actually make a copy of the exact page out of my Bible. I'm a more visual learner than audio, but I will tell you the audio helps greatly. So I don't do 3x5 cards. I know a lot of women that do, but I don't have that bulk. So see how nicely this folds up, just like that. In fact, right now I have that axe in my backpack. But so here it is, and here it is on my Bible. So let's say this is Colossians 1, and so I've got some time. I'm waiting at the doctor's office, and I have this with me at all times. I keep it with me at all times. And so if I can get started, you know, Paul and Apostle, and of course I've already been listening to Paul and Apostle of Jesus Christ, Paul and Apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Oh, I've got that, Paul and Apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother. Pretty soon you have a verse. And then you go on to verse 2. It's just like any other memorization thing. So you have verse 1, you repeat it, start verse 2, repeat it. Then pretty soon you have a chapter, you know, however long it takes you. Now, here's the big key. Besides listening to it with a fast speed, this is the other thing, and this is where a lot of women stop, and then they can't retain what they've learned. After you complete, if it's a small book like Colossians, for me right now in Acts, because most of the chapters are 70 verses, I cannot, you know, possibly say the whole book of Acts every day. But you finish a task like Colossians. Let's say you memorize the epistle to the Colossians. When you get it completely finished, say it every day out loud for 30 days, and you will have it. I memorized Colossians when I was 18, and I could say it to you now. Probably word perfect. I might have to be prompted a little bit. But I will tell you this, the books of the Bible that I reviewed that way, I can say. The books of the Bible that I did not review every day for 30 days, they're not as good. And I have to be prompted more. So once you do that review system, you say it every day for 30 days, you pretty much have it. You pretty much have it. Now, if you decide to memorize like Matthew or John or some of the longer books of the Bible, I would encourage you, this is what I'm doing in Acts. I just finished chapter 19, so while I'm working on chapter 20, I'm saying chapter 19 every day out loud while I'm working on chapter 20. So that helps you so you can still retain. So say it every day for 30 days and you have it. Now for me, what I do, somebody asked one time, well, how do you retain all that stuff? I listen to all my books of the Bible on my phone, usually within a period of about 2 weeks, everything I've memorized. So that helps me just continue to keep it in my mind. And so, let's see, I also want to share with you some other things too. Other people, they use 3x5 cards. They put their verses on that. You can do that. There are times that I have come to a passage of scripture that has been very difficult for me to memorize. And so I'll put a little tune to it. I remember when I was memorizing the book of the Revelation and I came to a verse and I go, oh, I just can't, I cannot get this. And so I put it to a tune. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. So I just made up a tune because I could not get that verse. My daughter, who has teaching her children to memorize, she's put Psalm 119 to music, to little children's tunes. And so, so you might want to put it to music. Also, I just want to give you some tips. Don't change translations. Like if you start out of one, don't say, I don't like this translation, I'll think I'll memorize out of the other. I memorize out of King James Version just because I grew up on the King James. My husband preaches out of the New King James. My books are all written in New King James, but I memorize personally out of King James just because I'm most familiar with it. Now, I will say this. The King James Version actually is the easiest of all translations to memorize out of. It has a rhythm to it. It flows. I was memorizing the book of Matthew one time with a lady in my church, and she was memorizing, I don't remember what translation, and it was very, very wordy. She had a very difficult time doing that. So, don't change. Stick with one translation. Don't change. Also, you don't want to work on scripture memorization when you're tired. It will not work. When you're fatigued, I just, don't strain yourself. When I'm mentally exhausted, I just can't do it. Nothing's going in my brain anyway. Also, if you're going through, I remember when my husband had to resign a church 12 years ago over a church discipline issue that the elders wouldn't back him on. And it was a very difficult year in our life, and I was memorizing Ephesians at that time, and probably should have stopped, but I wanted to keep moving. I didn't want to give up on anything, but Ephesians to this day is still a little bit choppy for me, and because we were going through a very, very difficult time in our lives, and didn't know really if my husband would recover from it, actually, because it was so distressing to him. So, probably if you're tired, you're going through a crisis situation, it's not a good time to work on your scripture memorization. I have a lot of other tips that are in the book out there, but I tried to share some of them. I have some out there that my daughter and daughter-in-law gave to me, who also memorized scripture. My daughter has a goal of memorizing the Bible. I don't know if she'll get there, but that would be great if she could. I hope those things help you. And in closing, what I want to do is share a woman's testimony on how scripture memorization changed her life. But I know that you've shared with me a scripture memory app that you use. What's it called?
Right now it's called Memorize Anything.
Memorize Anything. It's a new app that Deb uses that she says, and Debbie, I don't think you'll mind if I tell them. Debbie was one that used to say, I can't memorize. And, of course, she travels with me. I go, you're going to memorize, woman. Get with it. And so she finally did. She's memorized James, and she's now in First Peter. So, you can. You can do it. And, she's grayer than me. So, she can do it. You can do it. You just got to do it. So, but that's an app that she uses that she really likes. And I know there's a lot of scripture memorization apps. So you just have to find the method that works for you. But I will tell you that one works. And that it's helped a lot of women who have not been able to memorize. So I want to share this woman's testimony by way of closing. And then if we have time, I've been asked if there's any questions that we could answer those. She says, it's no favor asking me to share how scripture memory has changed my life. In Bible study on Wednesday, I shared with the women how having God's word in my mind and heart has changed my marriage. I'm the type of a woman who can have a complete discussion with my husband before he's in the door. I rehearse in my head what I'm going to say, and then I rehearse his response, and then I hit him with a real good comeback. So when he comes in the door, it's as if one of your Oklahoma tornadoes has hit him. He doesn't have a chance. Instead of the respectful wife that Ephesians 5 commands me to be, Eric has what I imagine Hillary Clinton to be like. Lovely, she says. Since I've been memorizing God's word, I've learned how to take battle my flesh and take my thoughts captive. Now I don't have horrible fights with my husband before he comes home or even when he does come home because I have filled my head and my heart with God's word. She says, now a verse here and there is great, but when you have chapters or books memorized, by the time you get through reciting them, your heart is softened. And if it's not, well, start over. In this way, you control your thoughts and think on things that are true, as Philippians 4:8 commands us to do, rather than feeding off the lies that Satan feeds us. And that's what they are. They're lies. Having scripture memorized in bulk helps you with idle thoughts and idle time. It's amazing how much easier it gets the more you do it. Believe me, I'm no genius, and my mother swears I'm ADD to this day. So if I can do it, anyone can. The neat thing about this is she says it can change your marriage, but also your friendships. Because women dwell on moody assumptions, and they easily fall prey to that. She says it'll change your life. I wish I could tell these women in person, but I hope the above helps. And then she says, here's a quick PS to the scripture memory. I fall asleep more easily now. There's a good reason to memorize. As soon as my head hits the pillow, it's as if my brain goes into action. Goodness, it hasn't been in action all day, so why does it go in action when I go to bed? And I begin thinking about the next day or the month's agenda, all my unfinished projects, the chores I need to do. I can't sleep, even though I'm exhausted. Now I take my thoughts captive and I begin to say in my head the chapters I've memorized. Usually before I'm done, I'm asleep. And if I get through the chapters more than twice, I figure the Lord wants me to pray for someone. So my thoughts go that way. It's amazing. I'm not a genius. I have to work at being stay focused. I have 5 children and not a lot of opportunities to sit and memorize. So I cut index cards in half, hole punch them, ring them. They fit great in my pocket or my purse. This way I can review the old and add on the new. Also, writing the verses helps me to memorize, and people can quiz me at any time and see if I'm distorting scripture. Anyway, if I can do this, anyone can. By the way, I did graduate in the top 5 of my high school class. Did I mention there's only 6 kids in that class?